Good morning. Aren't you glad to be here? How many of you overall like the time change? Raise your hand. You like it? Yeah. I'm wondering what the next service will say. Because, you know, we tell you the first service, you guys are much more alive and with it. I think in the first service we come, we have people, for the most part, who are morning people who like to get up, get life started, get life going. Second service, even at 10:30, they come dragging us in. Are we supposed to be out of bed yet? You know, so it takes some more to get them going. But we're glad you're with us. We say it every week. We mean it. You're not here by mistake. You're here by design. That God has a reason for you being here. One of the reasons for you being here is you need to remember Jordan and Jennifer. They are holding. They're going this week. Are either of them in this service? I know most of them may be in the next service. But anyway, you need to write them down. Pray for them. They are leaving on a missions trip this coming Friday to Costa Rica. And so they'll be gone about 8 days, I believe. So within that process, man, really pray for them. That God will use them. I mean, their hearts have been in missions, and it is just, you've seen it all along. So this is their first foray into that, and so just pray that God just takes all of the steps that need to really just confirm their hearts and confirm what God's doing in that process as they go. So pray for them. If you see them in between services, put your arms around them, hug them. Jordan usually works on Sunday mornings, but he may try to get here for the second service. But if you see Jennifer as well, just make sure that they know that we're supporting them as we pray for them as they leave. Matt, come on up here. Matt and Maddie. Matt, these guys have been, some of you have met them. We've grown to love them. They've been apart. When they're not here, we miss you. We're going to give you a mic.
Okay.
All right. So this is Matt's last Sunday with us. They've been working on the courthouse up there in Stockton. This part's coming to an end. And Matt gets to go home, actually, to L.A. and has a job down there. A couple of jobs, actually, but one paid and one ministry. Yeah. And then as well within that, he's going to get to be in the same house and same bed with your wife. That's an amazing process, isn't it? You get to go home. So we're thankful. But, of course, his gain is our loss in this process. But it's been a joy. So he asked us to share with you just a little bit about what God's doing in his life. And so go ahead, Matt. You got it. I'm going to put you on the clock right now. We're like the Grammys, okay. You know. No, we're good. Yeah, exactly. Bing, bing, bing.
I just wanted to...
Okay, this is a mic.
Okay,
it goes up there.
Okay.
There you go.
I don't have a problem with my... I can do this without a mic, though. But...
yeah.
I just wanted to say thank you to everybody here, and like he said, Pastor Bill said, I'm from Los Angeles, and I'm building the Stockton Courthouse with Maddie, and when we came here in September, we went to one other church, and it was okay, and then we decided let's try another church, and so we came here the second Sunday, and we've been coming here ever since, and Mike greeted us first person.
I'm sorry.
And it was genuine.
In spite of that.
It was genuine. And Paul preached, I think we were doing a series then on cults or something. Yeah, and Paul preached on Scientology. It was really good on what they believe and everything, very informative. And then the next week we met Pastor Bill, and like within a couple of weeks he offered to take us out to dinner, and we did you a solid by not taking you up on that offer.
Oh, no, I agree. Look at me. You didn't do me a solid.
We did your bank account a solid. But anyways, I just wanted to tell you people that this is really a good church. Every Sunday that we've been here, we come here, we enjoy it. You people make us feel welcome. The worship music here is really good because I'm a chaplain. I go to a lot of different services. A lot of times it's about, did the drummer come in late or is my guitar too loud? And you guys worship the Lord. That rendition of the doxology was the best I've ever heard ever. That was beautiful. And but I wanted to tell you just a little bit. I am a chaplain. I served 18 years in the state of California for three strikes law, drug-related offenses. My sentence in 1997 was 85 years to life. If you have a 5 to life in the state of California, you're done. You're washed up. It's a life sentence. And I had three life sentences plus 10 years, no violence, drugs-related. But in that time, I came to know the Lord in a personal relationship and studied my Bible consistently, and as time went on, they brought me back to court. They took the life sentences off. I ate dinner with the judge last summer with the judge that sentenced me to those three life sentences. So everything that Pastor Bill preaches is really good. I like his simplicity, the way he brings the gospel, and I like Paul's energy, and that's cool. We need that, you know, and I'm a combination of both of you guys there. So, anyways,
you get the good looks from me.
Good
looks from me.
No, from Mike.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, Oh, okay. You're done. Time's up. No. Wait, but before you go, you got to tell us part of your ministry. Okay. I know you weren't going to do that, but you're here, and I want you to tell us what part of the ministry you have down there.
Okay. I'm going back, and I'm involved with Hollywood Impact Studios. And the founder of Hollywood Impact Studios was a big shot at Fox Studios. And he goes into L.A. County Jail, and they have Bible studies in there. And then they teach the inmates how to make movies and stuff so that they can come out and get jobs, you know, lighting, filming, truck drivers, craft services, whatever. And we just got 77 acres up above Castaic Lake, and it was an old camp during the 30s where they have dorms in it and everything when they were building roads and everything like that. And we've got that property, and we're going to start taking inmates that are coming out of prison and less fortunate people and coming up there, training them, giving them jobs. We're going to open up like a little diner up there. We're going to make Christian movies up there. And all of that, and they asked me to be the chaplain because of my background. They felt that I could relate to them and everything, so now I'm going to be able to go back. And one last thing, when I came to this church, I was single, no girlfriend, anything. During the time from September to now, I met my wife now, Martha, and married her. And we were married on January 7th, and now I'm going to go home and be able to be with my wife full time. So. Thank you for letting me be here, and Maddie will still be here, hopefully, for a couple more months, and I'll be starting a new job the Monday after tomorrow. So great. Thank
all
you
right,
very
hang
much.
Hang on. We're going to pray for him, all right? Hang on. All right. It's been great. It's been great to have him and just to get to know him, their hearts, and his heart especially, and they know, they study the Word. You're in the Word, and I appreciate that, and he'll ask questions, and I appreciate that, but he's going back and really going to be working, in the ministry as well as working to provide, but we're going to pray for you to be okay? Matt. God, we just love Matt and Maddie. We're so thankful that your family is worldwide, that we can go anywhere and we can find people who love you and who worship you. And that is such such a joy, such a bond of faith and a bond of unity. So as he leaves us, I pray you'll continue to bless him, bless his life. As Maddie stays here and continues to work until that job is done, provide for their needs. We know that they trust in you, so we'll continue to provide for them. I pray that the ministry with these inmates that are coming out, as you know, that's near to my heart as well. That, God, you will just take that and make it, just flourish it, and that these guys, that the recidivism rate will be, just be done away with. That these guys will find you and find the true purpose of their life and really find significance within it. So thank you for this time. Thank you for his testimony that's not just to us but to anybody he meets. For it's in your sons, let me pray. Amen. Thank you. Lord, I love you, God. Fitting today, as we'll see towards the end here, as we come to, we have been talking about 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy, before we even get into that, I mean, part of the verse we're going to come to soon is that I just, this week especially, a couple of things. But I want you to know that we can have confidence in this word. That if we don't have confidence in this word, then we ought not to be here. We ought to just go to IHOP and get breakfast or go bowling or do whatever you want to do. Stay in bed, miss the time change, whatever. But his word is true, it's living, it's active, it's inerrant, it's inspired and preserved by God alone. And so within that, you need to know that that's from the authority by which Paul and I and Pastor Ben on our Tracy campus, as we speak, as Don speaks over there, it's based on the authority of the word. It's not just opinion. There's times we share our opinion. Hopefully we let you know when that is and when it's just, but this is the word. And so we approach every Sunday. I approach every Sunday. And it's kind of neat for me because I don't feel like we have to do Disneyland. I don't feel like Pastor Paul, as we come to sing, we lead in worship. We can't create worship. We can't make you worship. All we can do, we can't create worship in you. We can only create the environment for worship. But hopefully worship is an overflow of your heart that as you come and an expression. And worship just isn't the song and the warm, fuzzy feel good. It is. Our real worship is the word. The confidence in the word that we have. The change in the word that should hit our lives. And as we should leave here again overflowing with the worship in a corporate way that we brought in an individual way. That's the purpose of why we come together. So let me ask you some questions, see how much you've been paying attention, okay? All right, you can just shout it out. If you're wrong, I'll make sure I embarrass you, okay? All right, so we're looking at 2 Timothy. Who's writing this book? Paul. Where is he writing from? What's the name of that prison? Come on now. Oh, yeah, who are you, Matt, is that you out there? I can't. Mamertine Prison, absolutely. Sting, thank you for playing. All right. Okay, here's the softball one. To whom was it written? Well, there you go, Timothy. All right. what is the urgency here? Why was this book urgent to Paul? He's going to die. It's the last letter. It's his last words. In prison, soon to be beheaded, he senses that this is it. He's not going to get to Spain. This is it. He's in his dungeon. What is Paul's message here? What is the underlying message, the most serious message of all of it? What was the message that Paul was telling Timothy? Endure and continue. That was part of it. But what was the main message? Be on guard. Guard the gospel. Guard the gospel. The death, burial, the incarnation of Christ coming as a servant, as a slave, humbling himself, taking upon our sins upon a cross, death, burial, and resurrection, and coming again. And Paul is telling him the urgent message here is, one, these are my last words, so they're the most important words, Paul says. But more than anything else, guard the truth of the gospel. Oh yeah, there are those who'll get on to endless chatter. Remember that lesson? On endless chatter. Talking about all kinds of things that really don't matter. And there's going to be deceivers, we're going to see even today, that'll try to deceive you from the truth. But the truth of the gospel is what has to be preeminent. And so Paul was saying, above all, you guard the truth. You guard the truth of the gospel. Don't be deceived. Don't be swayed. We start today, we start really the last part of the book that starts Paul's final charge to the issue of Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 14 are where we're going to be reading. It says, yeah, go ahead. Right on the, do we have the, there we go. You, however. Now the however there, he's looking back because he's talking about those who have been fallen away, who've strayed from the truth, who've lost the truth. But he says, Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. The persecution I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. As we come to that, he says, but you know all about me. But you know everything here. Everything. I've shared my heart, my feelings, my disappointments, my passion for God. Yes, Paul had disappointments as well. As he sat there in prison, there were things that he had wanted to do for the cause of Christ that God said, I'm sorry, it's just that door is not going to open. He says, but you, Timothy, you're not like those. Do not become like those who change the gospel for personal gain. Who change the gospel or the truth of the word because it makes it easier upon them. Do not become like that. You've seen the truth. You've experienced the power of the truth. You've experienced the power of the gospel. He says, but you've seen these things. And so when he first looks back at this passage, he says, you remember. Remember the past. Learn from the past. You know my teaching. You know my way of life. And when you think about Paul's way of life, listen, in at part he said, I'm able to be content in all circumstances. Wish I could say that. I can't, Tyler. To be content in every circumstance. He has seen, man, Timothy has watched Paul's life. Was Paul perfect? No. Sometimes we put Paul on this pedestal. Paul doesn't put himself up there at all. Paul says, no, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Paul said, I don't deserve anything. But he says, Timothy, you've seen my way of life, the change in my life, what has taken place. You've seen my purpose in life. What is Paul's purpose? What is our purpose? We've said it over and over about every lesson that the purpose that Paul gives us, the purpose that Paul gives Timothy, is to know God and to make him known to others. That is our purpose. You realize, I mean, especially in counseling, it seems like no matter who you are of different ages, usually young, we all want to be significant, don't we? We all want to be significant. We want to make a mark in some way to make a lasting difference. But what will that difference be? I mean, sometimes we give up early and say, well, I'm just not going to be that, whatever, I don't know. But if our purpose is to know him and make him known, then in every circumstance of our life needs to fall under the grid, under the umbrella of that's our purpose. Now let me ask you a tough question. And some people don't like, because this isn't kind of the happy question. But if today was your last day, what would your lasting significance be? If today was your last day. Now some will say, well, my kids. parenting, fathering, mothering. Are kids a significance or what you instill in them? Giving birth to a child, I don't think, is really the significance. What you instill in them is the significance. But what would your lasting significance be today? Oh, as well, I'm a teacher. Okay. I'm a pastor. Okay. What would, if we had the ability to ask others in our life, what if I were to die tomorrow, what would be the lasting significance in my life? What would others say? What would be the lasting significance? Knowing Him and making Him known is our true purpose. It crosses all cultures. Do you realize that? To know Him and make Him known crosses every culture, every race, all people, every circumstance that we will find ourselves in, to know Him. Remember, we drew that circle. The outside of that circle is that's our purpose in life, to know Him and make Him known, that everything that happens inside that circle is measured through the grid of how can I know Him more deeply through this situation, and how can I make Him known through this situation. And our significance, Paul knew that investing in others spiritually was the lasting significance that would long outlive him. Investing in others for the cause of Christ, letting them come to know Jesus, would be a lasting significance for a spiritual. We talk about lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Those treasures are people who come to know Christ. The obedience that we have to Christ. To know Him and make Him known. He says, Timothy, you know about His faith, my faith. And he knew all about that trust in God. He has seen the walk of faith that Paul has had to go through. He's seen it. He's viewed it through the ups and downs, through the disappointments. He viewed his patience, my patience. Man, Paul at times had to be patient not only with himself, but patient with others. Patience with his God. I think there are times that Paul says, God, you know I want to get this done. Why is this not happening? Sorry, you're going to take a little hiatus in prison. That wasn't my plan, God. Patience. Paul said to Timothy, you've seen my love. You've seen how I, the persecutor of Christians, the hater of people, changed to loving God's people, loving all people, and wanting them to come to know Jesus. You've seen the change. He says, you've seen my endurance, that perseverance. That word literally means to bear up under. Timothy watched as Paul had to bear up under many things. His persecution, his sufferings. And Paul said, Timothy, you saw the abuse. You saw the suffering that I encountered for speaking for God, for using the message of faith in God and the message of faith in God alone. He listed some places in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Did I give you Acts 14:19? I did. Okay. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul. Did you realize that Paul had been stoned? And dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. Timothy, watch that. Over and over, being chased out of Thessalonica. He saw the suffering. He saw the persecution. But in the midst of this, he's telling Timothy, you remember this. Remember, look back. Remember your past. Remember what you're built upon. But he also says to talk about your future. Your future as a believer, the believer's future. Verses 12 and 13, he talks about, in fact, everyone, listen, right now he's talking about the future. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen, as a believer, knock the rose-colored glasses off of your eyes and start living in the future that says, listen, tomorrow is going to be harder to live for Jesus than it is today. And next year, it is going to be even tougher to live for Jesus than it was today. Yes, God gives us the power to do so. But all the narrative of the Word is that in the last days, as we come, ultimately, before we get to heaven, before we're in eternally with the Lord Jesus, as we stay here, as we abide and bear under the persecution, the abuse that comes from speaking and knowing Christ, this is not a hard one to see. And in fact, if you have those glasses on that you think, man, living for Jesus is just bliss, then I don't think you're living for Jesus very loudly. It may be quiet. You may be that guy who sits in the corner. You speak for Jesus. When you come that visible representation of Christ to this world who is anti-Christ, they're not so much anti-Christ, they're ignorant of him. But he tells us over and over that, man, you're going to live for Christ, man. There's those who want to take the treasure of the gospel within you and deceive it, deceive others, and you will be persecuted, evildoers. You will have consequences. And those evildoers will increase, and those who are deceivers will increase. Now let me tell you, this last week I shared with some, I think a band, I listened to a very, very popular TV preacher. No, it wasn't that I needed a message for today. Oh, but I liked it. Oh, I liked it. And I'm sure the people sitting in that crowd like it. And I'm sure I'll get you all ticked off if I tell you who it was. Joel Osteen. But I found the key. Now listen, some of you watch him religiously, and there's parts of what he says that are very, very good. But he's also a deceiver in some things. Now, I know this is not politically correct. So be it. But I learned the key from him. I learned the key to the healing to me. I learned the key that I could stop taking my drugs. I learned the key, I don't take drugs, but I learned the key that if I needed drugs, I didn't have to take them. And I learned the key that I should resign. Because I'm not what you really need. What you really need is a comedian. Because if you will laugh every night before you go to bed, you'll be healed. He takes a verse, laughter is like a good medicine. Whoa. And from that build a framework of you just need more laughter. We need to laugh more. You need to walk out of here feeling good. Now give me 25 bucks. Now you know, the last days, the deceiver, as Paul was telling Timothy, he says, you call them out. Johannes, Alexander, these different people. When they're teaching lies, they're gonna, and you say, well, some of it's good. Yes, but we must go by the entirety of God's word. Now some of you, I thought after watching that, I thought, man, I feel good. Woo, I just need to laugh. I need to go get me the Reader's Digest. I need to sign up. Do they even make Reader's Digest still? As a kid, I loved the Reader's Digest. Man, they had jokes. You know, you'd follow through and find that joke page, you know. Oh, I love that. That's all I need to do. I learned if I just laugh every night. Now, here's how I realized I didn't need a joke book. I just think of some of you, and I start laughing. I'm gonna get up the next morning. Oh, man, I'm going to be skinny. I'm going to get up the next morning, and I don't need any pills. Listen. You need to be people of the Word. And that is what Paul is telling Timothy. You guard the Word. As we come to it, we're going to soon see that the Word is powerful. It's living. It's God-breathed. Theopneustos. God-breathed. So the future is there's going to be those who say, oh, no. You don't need to do that. God wants you happy. God wants you to feel good. God wants you to be rich. And God's word says, listen, if you're going to speak the name of Jesus and call people and say, listen, God loves you, but you need to trust in him, what God's going to say, somebody will say, no, I don't want that. I don't like that. I love the health and the wealth. I don't care for the suffering and the road, the journey of pain. But now, he looked at the past and remember, he looked at the future. You're going to have suffering, but now, he says, Timothy, continue. Continue. Timothy was timid. We looked at that. He was timid. He was kind of shy. Paul was in essence saying, man, you need to man up for the cause of Christ. You need to be the man of God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. As Paul talked about that as Pastor Paul spoke of that issue of power that he gave us. Be continued because of the truth you have learned, because you are convinced of it. Because you have seen it. Because you know it. Because you have seen it in those around you, this great cloud of witnesses that he says that you see and they verify and they prove in the prophecies of the sea you've done. From remembrance to continuance. From remembrance of what has been done, you look back, what God's done in our lives through the continuance of it, and one day we'll be in heaven. But let me tell you, folks, knowledge is not enough. We have some of you, Matt is a student of the Word. But have you noticed, he's not just studying the Word, he's put it back into practice in people's lives. Knowledge will not bring passion. Knowledge isn't enough. We have people who study the Bible and they got a lot of head knowledge, but to live by faith, to walk. Listen, knowledge won't give commitment. Knowledge won't give passion and conviction. Knowledge doesn't mean passion. We can know a whole lot, but it doesn't mean we have a passion for it. The challenge to being a difference maker is saying, God, not only give me the knowledge of the Word, but to live in obedience therein and to know what you've done in my life and to, when I have the cure for this disease, that I want to share it and I want to spread it. That it's not just making people laugh. Yeah, listen, it's not just about being happy. It's about knowing the joy of the Lord. That inner peace, that inner joy that can only come from Him. I will tell you this, last week, my heart has really been pulled to you who are the men in our church. I know there's our culture in so many ways, and I'm not going to go there because I'll get other people angry. But men, we need to lead. I don't care what our culture says. With love, grace, faith, we need to lead. Are we perfect? No. Are we failures at times? Yes. We need to set the pace. We've learned a song. We did it this morning. Just like those dry bones in Ezekiel. He said, I can raise them up to an army. And we as men do not, we need to stop backpedaling in the cause of Christ, and we need to lead. We need to lead in our homes. We need to lead in our business. We need to lead in our spouses. We need to lead in our church. We need to set the pace. We need to rise up and be that army. We need to rise up. There, yes, nothing perfect about us. We realize there's nothing worthy in us. And we get beat up a lot. Oh, man, the culture beats us up. Sitcoms on TV make us look like idiots. Listen, God says the man of God, in specifically gender-specific, the man of God needs to lead. To lead in having a heart to know Him and make Him known. That's what I'm calling you to lead. To know Him and make Him known. I believe that God made men warriors. I do. And I believe that when we find a purpose and we live the purpose that God has given us to know Him and make Him known, we become a warrior for Jesus. To be men who want to make a difference. Whether you're a seeker here, whether you're a saint here, God calls us to be men who want to know Him, want to lead, and who want to make Him known. I read a disturbing statistic again. It's dropped this last one. 82% of people in church are invited by someone. 82% of you were invited to church by someone. And yet now, the statistic is, this last week I read, less than 2% of church-going people, of attenders, see the need to go, and much less to invite anyone. Now, you don't have to be very bright to see what's going to happen if that continues, right? What's going to happen to that 82%? Shrink, shrink, and shrink. Because less and less we see the need to invite others. Are you part of that 82% that are invited? Probably. Are you part of the 2% who doesn't see the need? I mean, who sees the need and will do that? To make a lasting difference in those that God brings into our lives. That's our purpose. To be different, to be a different maker, you must be different. You must know the Lord. Not in our power, it's in His strength. It's not in our perfection. We fail. We're not, we get beat up about it. But God says, no, I give you the strength. But desire and lead into know Him and making Him known. Let's cultivate the qualities as men. Let's cultivate, as well as all of us, you understand that. But I think Paul is telling Timothy to mentor those young men, to mentor those around him, to guard the truth, to respond to loving to the teaching, but being men who demonstrate the qualities of the Lord Jesus and believe.